Hi, my beautiful people. This is Bimi Shavery, and I am here with your daily devotion. We are on day 24. I want to say, before I even get started, today's episode is going to absolutely, without a shadow of a doubt, bless you. And I haven't even read the daily devotion yet, haven't even glimpsed it. You guys know I do not read that until I read that with you. And we actually experience that together. And I can honestly tell you that I don't know what the daily devotional is saying today, but what I do know is my prep work for today's daily devotion has already put me in this energy of just wanting to scream out thank you, you know, just gratitude. It is going to really assist you in navigating whatever it is that you are dealing with, growing through, experiencing right now. From a very deep level, it's giving you something that you can relate to, something that you are able to put in context. Most importantly, it's giving you something that is going to provide a sense of understanding and clarity of the why behind what it is that you're experiencing. So before we get into it, I want to say thank you guys so much for all of your love. Thank you for your support. Thank you for all of your feedback. I don't take that lightly. It is something I look forward to. It is something I enjoy so much. I am also in preparation of my new release for the newsletters. I'm working on getting that out for us and doing that. It is something that's going to be extremely important for this process. And I feel very heavily that this year is going to really call for a lot of us doing daily devotion. So I will be, it won't particularly always be a fast, but I embody fast. This is something that I do every single, it's a part of my lifestyle. But we will do quarterly fast, in addition to so much incredible resources and things that I'm preparing to release and share with you guys. I'm so excited about it. I am very happy about it, and I look forward to that. Now, if you're new here, welcome, welcome, welcome. Thank you so much for being here. Thank you so much for, you know, following whatever instinct led you to me. I don't know how you heard about me, but I am so grateful that you have. And I hope that you find something here that provides you a bit of clarity, provides you a bit of understanding, gives you a sense of hope, and also assists you on the journey, whatever that may be that you find yourself in the midst of. If you've already been a subscriber, you've already been here, you've been a part of the team, you've been a part of the tribe, you've been a avid supporter for years now, months now, weeks now, I want to thank you so very much. Thank you so much for your continued support. Thank you so much for your dedication and discipline and entrusting me to be used as a vessel in your life. I do not take that lightly. That is something that I, without a shadow of a doubt, know that I couldn't and wouldn't do without you. That's all God, you know? So thank you guys so very much. Now, let's go ahead and get into today's episode. Today's episode, I'm going to go ahead and give you all the title of it because I have, lately, I've been writing the titles out first. And, but it's after context comes to me. It's very strange. I can't even explain to you guys my process because it would not make any sense. It happens differently every day, but it has a very, very, very strong foundation. So anyway, I want to tell you guys the title for today, and I will, a disclaimer, you will want to get some pen, a pen, paper, pencil, map color, Crayola, marker. You will want to get utensils to write with because the jewels are just all over the place. Like I had to literally just start recording and stop my prayer meditation and my writing down of what I feel because the list and the notes could go on and on and on and on and on. And I'm trying to compose myself and I'm trying not to go overboard, but Lord is so good. So let's get right into it. Okay. The title for today's episode is Connected to the Vine, Yet Surrounded by Thorns. Now, y'all know, your girl loves her a good old, you know, metaphor. and a parable. But I feel like it's so important to understand, because as we are in this process and as we are in this moment of time, there are so many things happening. Okay, there are so many things occurring in our lives around us. There's so much that is going on that it almost feels impossible. Okay, impossible to see the goodness of what's happening in our life. It just doesn't make sense. Okay, it doesn't make sense to only look at the good. It doesn't make sense to negate the pain. It does not make sense in any type of way to disconnect from reality. But it's important for you to understand the necessity of it. So first, let's talk about what a thorn is. Okay. A thorn is a shrub or a tree, and or it is a sharp part, pointed, straight or curved woody thing, right? It's sticky and it comes off the other side of a plant. Now, we already know what a vine is, okay? When I think of a thorn, I think of cactus, right? I think of something very prickly that hurts, that's sharp on the end. But I also, when you think about a vine, you think about the necessity of vines. You think about the beauty that a vine can bring to a space. You think about what can grow on a vine. You think about the positives more so of the pain of what this, or the discomfort of a vine, even when they grow abundance, too much, right? So sometimes you have to cut the vines or reposition the vines or whatever the case may be. But a thorn you want to get rid of. A thorn you want it to be destroyed. You want it away. You do not want any way, shape, or form to be stabbed with, hit with, or surrounded by a thorn. Think of cactus, right? So when we're thinking about a vine, and we know that Jesus calls himself, and at this point in the context, we know he is the vine. He is here to give everything you need. He is your connection to everything because of the foundation, which is God. God created everything. He created heaven, earth, sun, the moon, the stars, everything, everything he created. And being that Jesus is his son, he's inheriting and he's going through his process and journey of embodying those things. So in so many ways, the only way to connect to God, the only way to actually feel the love and the actual real relationship and that intimacy with God is to be connected to Jesus through the vine. Okay. So what we do know is that being connected to the vine is the way of life. It is something at this point, if you're reading in context, you understand that it is where you get so much of the nutrients and the abundance and the joy and the peace and the blessings and all of those things. You get that from the vine, being connected to the vine, trusting in the protection of it, right? But what we don't often hear people speak about is that sometimes being connected to the vine does come with its own amount of tests, and it comes with its own amount of tragedy. Because you cannot actually say that you truly have faith in something and you truly believe in something and you truly know that this is the way of life unless you've actually had to actually triumph or grow through some things, even while surrounded by thorns. So here we are, right? We're dealing with a lot right now. We're literally seeing every single day layoffs are happening by the thousands. Major corporations are doing what seems to be reminiscent to me of 2008 and 2020. Feels very much so like all of this talk And I'm really cringing at the fact that Black History Month is coming up, because when I think about the disadvantaged and I think about the misrepresented, with the closure and the cancellations of all of the diversity courses and all of the impact that it is having on understanding the differences in minorities and cultures, removing that from schools, removing that from conversations in the working environment, removing those from places and spaces that it needs it most is very frightening, because it's sending us back. And it's reintroducing us to a space where so often people want to pretend doesn't exist and never has. And this is where you got to get honest and real with yourself. Black History Month is not just about the pioneers prior to. You got Black history in your family, whether you're Black or what. You still have it in your, what side of the coin does your history play? And that's a whole nother type. That's a whole nother episode. I'm not going to even get in a tangent about it and discuss it in depth. But what I want you to think about is that just because it does not affect you right in this moment does not mean that you're not surrounded by the calamity that it'll cause. This is not speaking just about the changes that are happening educationally. This is not about just the shifts that are occurring on a global level. No, it's not just talking about the risk and the sacrifices unnecessarily people make every single day just to survive. And it's not just speaking about our soldiers who are struck down, who are tormented, who are held hostage, who are fighting battles that we shouldn't even be involved in or should have caused peace to decades and centuries ago. No, it's not about any of that. It's not just about any of that. But it is a reminder of being surrounded by thorns, being surrounded by grief. Even if you yourself are not dealing with the pending transition or the sudden transition of someone that you've loved, someone that you've cared for, even if you're not growing and going through that beginning phase of heartbreak, trying to overcome it, trying to grow above it, trying to be the bigger person, trying to understand the reason behind why this has happened, betrayal, hurt, layoffs, health issues, deception, inconsistencies. It's all a thorn. Lack of resources while constantly being over cross-sailed and constantly being pushed to buy something in the midst of people losing their jobs. It's a real hard reality when you're realizing that life is going on despite the thorn you're surrounded by. And one thing we know is that even though, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil. It does not mean that evil isn't there. Does not mean that calamity isn't there. Does not mean that pain isn't there. Does not mean deception isn't there. Doesn't mean loss isn't there. Does not mean the aggravation and being upset doesn't exist in that space, because it does. When you're thinking about the layoffs that are happening at a mass level, it is so disheartening. Because not only can some people have survivor's guilt, I will tell you, and this is personal to me, but I will tell you, I worked for telecommunications for 20 years, same company, 20 years. Now I had other jobs because that's just who I am, but also building up my skill set as I grew, as I expanded. I didn't stay in one position too long. I always grew, right? I always found something I would want to, but it would take me a while to just leap out there. But through mergers, through layoffs, I was never impacted. It wasn't until 2021 when I decided at the beginning of 2021, I needed to make a change. I needed to, something was changing in my life. I needed to be obedient to it. I didn't know what it looked like. I didn't know how to start. I didn't know where to go from it. By December, on December 3rd to be exact, I was let go from my job. I decided to leave. Okay. So as I make that decision, I wasn't regretful. I still at that point had two jobs, so I was okay. But that was my foundation. That was the main thing. But God did a thing. Okay. After applying, after 3 days, I got another offer, declined it because I wanted to take some time. I wanted to take some time to just relax and just focus and just be, right? I needed a break from that corporate drain of 20 plus years. And so then in January 2022, I started a new career path. Wasn't really my career path. It was a job. And it was back in corporate, which I felt comfortable in because I knew, but it was a different environment. I had to find ways to love the company. And I began to like it, but I found myself midpoint being a little afflicted by energies around me. And I know this is when God, now looking back, I understand this is when God is really about to move me, or he's about to shift me, because I'll get a feeling. Something won't sit right with me. I can't get real settled. And in April, I was laid off. Not just me, but other people. And I had just had a conversation that morning with he wasn't my fiance then, he was just my life partner, but I had a conversation with him about some things that he was dealing with in his life. And we had set, you know, it was fine. We were financially going to be okay. Everything was fine. And then I get the news not even 15 minutes later that I'm being laid off. I instantly went into, okay, let me fix this. Let me do what I need to do. Let me contact unemployment. Let me do what I didn't feel like, oh my God, where am I? I wasn't able to settle in that. So the innate action I took landed me a new role, which I wasn't even looking for. It came to me, and I've been there almost 2 years. Well, January of this year, when I come back from vacation or time off for the holiday, I was made aware of pending layoffs. So I've been affected. So naturally, the fear, the frustration will creep up because brand new house. I'm in the middle of transition. There's just so much that's happening, but I did not panic. And I think a big part of it is because I understand the work of my faith, and I understand the work of God, and I understand the tests that may come from being obedient and being in alignment, even when you want to remain comfortable. So when fast forward, that's just my part to let you know that I understand the layoff version. Now, when we're sitting with the reality of what layoffs signify and what losing a job means for people and how it affects everyone else around you, you have to also understand that it does more than affect you financially. The impact of losing a job, especially being a minority in corporate America, where I'm so often the only, you think about the fact that you're very disposable. Regardless to your skills, regardless to your abilities, regardless to your knowledge, regardless to your ability to be resourceful, it doesn't matter because they will let you go when the benefit of having you doesn't outweigh the benefit of not. And that's a hard pill to swallow because you're in this space where it's like, wow, like, you're just going to discard me like that. You're going to just let me go. I'm easy. It's okay. You love the work I do. I've done all this. I've sacrificed so much. You realize that you've given so much of yourself into a space that has no real foundation because it's only temporary placement until God decides it's time for you to go. And it doesn't matter what inconveniences that do. Now, think about the people who don't have the ability to be as resourceful. They don't have the connections. They don't have the intuitive insight to keep going. Think about the people who are battling with health issues or going through divorces or going through separations or dealing with being new parents. They're at the risk of losing it all. Think about what that does to someone mentally. It does to people spiritually. It does to people on a heart level. How it affects your confidence. How it affects the way you see the world and see people and treat people. Think about all of this. Think about the build up and then the lashing out that can happen due to all of the sacrifices that you've made, because now you're feeling really afflicted because you've given so much of yourself. You've dedicated so much of yourself. You've given so much of your time. You've given so much of your resources to spaces that can dispose you. And it's not just about corporate America, because this happens in entrepreneurship as well. People think that having a nonprofit is profitable. It is not. It takes so long to get on, unless you're doing underhanded things, unless you are on the receiving end of a different type of favor, unless you are in this space where you are being gifted something under the table. It takes a lot of work. It takes a lot of effort. It takes a lot of sacrifice. And you most times end up in a deficit more than above ground. Because even as an entrepreneur, contrary to popular beliefs, you're still working for people. You're still doing something for the people. And now it's tied to your livelihood in a way where you're not really getting anything in return. You're giving everything you have. And then you have to adjust it based on if the people will like it, if the people's feelings will be hurt, if the people are showing you interest in what it is you feel you're passionate about. And suddenly that thing you're passionate about becomes more of a burden, because now it is an obligation for you to survive. Which is the reason why, even though I could go full time working for myself, I don't want to, because it isn't and it has never been my ultimate goal. It has always been my release. It has always been something I enjoy. It has always been something I'm passionate about. I do not monetize my podcast. I do not monetize anything on social media, verified or not. I do not monetize those things. I am doing God's work my way. It's my way of ministry. It's my way of following my purpose. It's my way of feeling like I'm doing a service, because I know I am. Yes, the accolades would support me doing this on my own and just being an entrepreneur. Yes, but I don't want the glory of that. My people hearing me and seeing me and the accolades that come with that is because God has ordained that to happen, not because I'm out here promoting myself as a top influencer. I don't like that. That isn't my path. It isn't what I do it for. So when you understand your purpose, you move differently. And when you understand that when you're following your purpose and you decide to be an extension of that and give that to other people, you realize that doing that can go against the very thing that you started for. So let's fast forward to today and let's think about what it is that we are dealing with in life. So you are connected to the vine, meaning your faith life is good. You do good in the world. You sow, you give your heart to people. You're just a kind, genuine, supportive, resourceful spirit. You're a light in every room you enter. You uplift, you encourage, you support. Yet you are still surrounded by thorns. You are still reminded daily that you may not be enough. You may still feel moments of unworthiness. You may still feel attacked. You may still feel betrayed. You may still battle with growing through health challenges and fighting to get yourself back, fighting to find this new normal in this life that the world has now created for you, and trying to keep a sense of happiness and peace in the midst of that. You are surrounded by thorns that intend to destroy you, but yet you are still connected to the vine. When you think about this, it can seem like an oxymoron, because What do you mean? How can I be connected to the vine and still face all this calamity? How can I be connected to the vine and still have, you know, all these issues and things going on? How can I have all of this faith in God, something I don't see, but I know is real. I've proven my faith. Because even in times of everything happening, God still has to get the glory. But even in times when things seem to be going completely awry, right? God will test you. And people love to say, oh, God doesn't test you. That's the enemy. Yes, the enemy is used as a vessel to test you, but nothing happens without God's approval. He does not allow anything to happen to his children, the ones he loves, he's chosen. He don't let nothing happen to you without him instructing. Now, that sounds a little crazy, because how can I be connected to the vine and still be tested? How can my faith still be tested? How can my ability to survive, my stability be tested? Why would he put me through the ringer and make me lose everything, or make me fear losing everything, if he is the resource? He's everything. I don't have to fear this. I don't have to fear, you know, anything. I should not have to have this energy of watching my back when I'm tied to the Most High. Well, it could seem like that. Yeah, it could seem like that, but that's not how God works. And that's why it's important for us to not get in a space where we are assuming we understand his why behind things. Right? Because we don't. We don't. But we have to know and have enough faith to know that it always works out. It always works out. And that brings me to Job. In the Bible, the story of Job is so captivating because Job was a very righteous man. Job was righteous. He was hardworking. He was wealthy. He was a good soul, right? And as Job is described, he was considered very wealthy amongst the people. Not just wealthy for himself, but he was wealthy and astute. And as I did more history research, it could be because of who he is a descendant of. Okay. But regardless, one of the things that stuck out to me, one of the many things that stuck out to me, was the fact that in the story of Job, okay, you are met with a man who is facing a lot of tribulation. Tribulation that he didn't cause. Tribulation that he, looking at his side of things, didn't deserve. And I'm speaking from losing everything, including children. All of his wealth. Being so afflicted. Yet never denouncing the power and capabilities of God. And you wonder, how can that be so? How can that be so? How can someone that is described as being blameless and upright, righteous, right? And then you read further and you're understanding, well, why was he even attacked? So let's think about God and let's think about Satan, which translates to accuser or adversary. God is having a conversation with Satan about Job. And he says, there's no one on earth like him. He's blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. However, Satan says that Job is only righteous because God favored him generously. So in other words, the only reason he trusts you, the only reason that you got faith, the only reason that you're seen as righteous is because of what he's already blessed you with. So you haven't really gone through calamity. You haven't really gone through the pain. You haven't really gone through anything to have it tested in a way where you have to prove it. So God is having this conversation with Satan, and Satan dares him and says, if given the approval to inflict suffering, Job will change and curse God for sure. Now, something about that confirmed for me exactly what I knew. Satan can't do anything without God's approval. Because what God values and what he's chosen, there's protection around you. There is a sense of protection around you. And we're sitting with this knowing that Satan, everyone fears Satan, but why? Because if God gave him approval to test you, then God has every intention on bringing you out. Well, what do you mean God tested? What do you mean that he gave him permission? Oh, well, it tells you in Job 1. It tells you, it sits there and he's telling you that if given approval to inflict suffering, Job will change. And God says to him, go ahead, abuse him. Just to experiment with what Satan was saying. But he forbids Satan to kill him. Forbid Satan to put his hands on him. Do whatever it is you need to do. Do whatever it is. Take away whatever it is. Lie, steal, scheme. Do whatever it is you think you need to do. But don't you lay a hand on him. Okay? So let's think about the tribulations of what he has gone through. Okay? So over the time, in one day, he's given four reports. One, that his sheep, servants, and his children have all died due to thieving intruders and natural disasters. Now, let me break this down for you. Okay. There were two different messengers prior to Satan. So Satan sent his minions. When they couldn't get Job to break, bend, or anything. Because it says in Job 1:18, while he was still speaking, yet another messenger came and said, your sons and daughters were feasting and drinking wine at the oldest brother's house, when suddenly a mighty wind swept in from the desert and struck the four corners of the house. It collapsed on them and they are dead. And I am the only one who has escaped to tell you. This was when Job got up. This is when Job showed that it frustrated him, because prior in 16, it says while he was still speaking, another messenger came. That tells you that was a second messenger that had come prior to Satan. He came and said, the fire of God fell up from the sky and burned up the sheep and the servants. And I'm the one that escaped to tell you. Then another came and said, while he was still speaking, another messenger came and said, the Chaldeans formed three raiding parties and swept down on your camels and carried them off. They put the servants to sword, and I am the only one escaped to tell you. So you could take away my wealth. You can destroy all of the gold I have. You could take away my money. You could take away my food. You could take away it all. But when he said he destroyed his children, this was when Job felt something. He may have felt something all along, but this is when he expressed. Now, naturally, anger would come and you're lashing out at the messenger, or you're cursing that of which you believe. But that's not what Job did. Job instead, in Job 2, it says, no, we're still in Job 1. In Job 1, when he said, it says Job 1:20, at this time, he got up and tore his robe, shaved the head, and then fell to the ground in worship and said, naked I come from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. In all of this, He did not curse God. He did not say God was not real. He did not do anything but praise him. As naked as he was, he cleaned himself up to bare his entire soul. And that's a different type of faith. That's a different type of reverence. That's a different type of power, because that type of righteousness just is very hard to come by. So then Job was tested again. So this is all a part of the first test. The second test, Job's second test, says, well, he's speaking to God again. And he says, on another day, the angels came to present themselves before the Lord, and Satan came with them to present himself before him. And the Lord said to Satan, where have you come from? Satan answered the Lord, from roaming through the earth and going back and forth in it. Then the Lord said to Satan, have you considered my servant Job? There is no one on earth like him. He is blameless and upright, a man who fears God and shuns evil. And he still maintains his integrity, though you incited me against him to ruin him without any reason. God knew Satan's attempt was to devalue, discredit, and destroy Job because of his wealth. Because that's how jealousy works. That's how envy works. You don't have to do anything but exist for someone to want to destroy you. You don't have to do anything but exist for someone to not like you. You don't have to do anything but exist for someone to want to destroy everything they think you have accumulated in success. And this is exactly what Satan's attempt was. And God knew this, but God also knew the heart of Job. He also knew the dedication and discipline of Job. And so God is asking him, so even though you've done all of this, he still has his integrity. He still has not cursed me. So it didn't win. You didn't win. It didn't work. So then Satan comes back. And he says, a man will give all he has for his own life, but stretch out your hand and strike his flesh and bones, and he will surely curse you in your face. So he's telling him, I got another trick under my sleeve, and I can promise you that he will choose him over you. This is what Satan, who came as an angel, okay, because Lucifer was an angel originally, came as an angel, said to God. Mm-hmm. All right, cool. So God says, very well then, he's in your hands, but you must spare his life. Go ahead and do what you got to do, but do not touch him. You cannot kill him. So Satan went out from the presence of the Lord and afflicted Job with painful sores from the sores of his feet to the top of his head. Then Job took a piece of broken pottery and scraped himself with it as he sat amongst the ashes. Job's wife said to him, are you still holding on to your integrity? Curse God and die. He replied, you are talking like a foolish woman. Shall we accept good from God and not trouble in all this? Job still did not curse God. So it goes on to talk about his friends. He has three friends. They come to him. They're explaining to him. They're letting him know, you know, okay, listen, I understand your faith. I understand your due diligence. I understand that you really have this belief, and I understand, but why would he make you suffer? He's obviously making you go through this because of something your children did. Your children deserved to die. Your children deserved the calamity. You are having to pay for what your children did. That is why you're suffering. You got to curse God. You got to not curse God, but accept that you have to repent for your children's sin. Now, naturally, a father or a mother, you're not going to just talk to me crazy about my child. You're not going to just say anything to me about my child. So there ensues a conflict amongst them. Fast forward to God presenting himself to Job. And God is God a bit frustrated. Okay. He's a bit frustrated based on the text, because He said in the text, let me read this to you guys, because I'm like, wow, like, God got a little attitude. But he said to them, outside of the storm, right? He said to Job first, after all of this is going down, he says, hold on. He says, who is this that darkens my counsel with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. This is in Job 38. I will question you and you shall answer me. Where were you when I laid the earth's foundation? Tell me if you understand. Who marked off its dimensions? Surely you know. Who stretched a measuring line across it? On what were its fooling set? Or who laid its cornerstone? Basically, God is checking him, coming at the friends, letting them know, wait a minute. Y'all have spoke enough against me. Y'all have said enough lies about me. Let me present myself and you gonna answer me. When I tell you God will pull up behind you, he will. But he was not just talking to them, because he also said to Job, brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. Would you discredit my justice? Would you condemn me to justify yourself? Do you have an arm like God's? And can your voice thunder like his? Then adorn yourself with glory and splendor and clothe yourself in honor and majesty. Unleash the fury of your wrath. Look at every proud man and bring him low. Look at every proud man and humble him. Crush the wicked where they stand. Bury them in the dust together. Shrug your faces in the grave. Then I myself will admit to you that your own right hand can save you. Listen, when you speak about the promise that God has already given you, and you're speaking to people who are not that they don't believe in it, but you're facing so much calamity at this point. It's like, come to the human capacity can only take so much. You can't understand on a human level when you're dealing with God. You got to think in spiritual all the time, because I can't sit here and let you curse what I know God is doing in my life. And this is having that type of faith. Job knows he's connected to the vine. He knows this. He's deeply, deeply rooted in this. Even though he's facing illness, even though he is facing calamity, even though he has lost his children, he's lost his wealth, he has nothing. His wife is telling him, listen, how much of this are you going to take? How much of this are you going to take cowering down? And God comes to him after checking the friends, saying to him, listen, I need you to stand up like a man. I need you to stand up and speak to them like a man. Cast them out. You got the power to do so. If you're connected to the vine, you got the power to speak life into those situations. You got a power to rebuke every attempt that the enemy is putting on your life. You got the power to rise above whatever it is that you are inflicted by, because you are connected to me. Then God uses Job. He tells Job, after the Lord said all these things, he said, I'm angry with you. This is what God is saying to his friends. I'm angry with you and your two friends because you have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. So now take 7 bulls and 7 rams and go to my servant Job and sacrifice a burnt offering for yourselves. My servant Job will pray for you and I will accept his prayer and not deal with you according to your folly. You have not spoken of me what is right as my servant Job has. So Elphaz, his friend, one of his friends, Bildad and Zophar, they're his friends, did what the Lord told him to do. And of course, God accepted Job's prayer because of the righteousness of Job. So Job prayed for his friends. The Lord made him prosperous again, gave him twice as much as he had before. All his brothers and sisters and everyone in the house, they comforted and consoled him all of the trouble, because of all of the trouble that they knew God had brought upon him. And each one of them gave him a piece of silver and a gold ring, leading him to prosperity even more so. He had even more than what he had prior to all of this hitting him, which is abundance of blessings, which God promises you being connected to the vine. So it's sitting here and you're thinking, my Lord, I'm going through so much. I'm dealing with so much. I am just really conflicted by so much. I do not have it in me to keep fighting. So I surrender to whatever has happened to me. I'm surrendering to all of the weight of this. And God is saying to you, are you out of your mind? I gave you the power when I allowed you to be tied to me. I gave you the power to speak life into your situations. I promised you you could have your heart's desires if you believed in me, and you believe in me. But now you are allowing what you see. You're allowing what you see to confuse you, to distort you. God is not confused. God is not falling short. God is not in the blind on what's going on. The enemy can't do anything. He can't destroy you. He can't take anything that God won't give you back. So whatever it is that you're dealing with, whatever it is that you're growing through, whatever it is that you're facing right now in this moment, you got to understand and you got to believe that it's going to get better. It has no choice. It's not going to stay the way it is because it can't. There's a shift happening. There's a shift happening. Redirection, repositioning is happening, but you're being anchored and you still are tied to the vine, even when you are surrounded by thorns. Those thorns cannot kill you. Those thorns cannot destroy you. Those thorns will hurt. But what you have faith in, what you truly believe in, is going to bring you out. So whatever it is you're facing right now, whatever you think is never, ever, ever going to get better, I want you to really dig deep into this fast. And I want you to really sit with the reality and the truth of the knowing that God got you. God got you. God got you. Everything that you desire and need is already turning around and it is working out in your favor. I don't care what it looks like. I don't care what people are saying it's going to be. I don't care what it is your fear is telling you. I don't care what your friends and family are saying to you. I don't care whatever it looks like. It isn't real. Sometimes you got to have a delusional faith. Sometimes you got to have so much faith you don't even care about how crazy and out of the reality you almost like you're just walking down the street with this grin on your face in the bliss, like you just think it's summertime and it's winter. We are not going to allow people who don't really understand. You've already grown through too much. You've already overcome too much. You've already overexceeded too much. You have already sacrificed enough. God knows that about you. He has his opinion about you already formed. There is nothing else he needs to see. He already has chosen you because he knows what you're capable of and he knows what's invested in you. So at this point, all you got to do is speak life into that thing that's trying to cause death upon you. Speak life into it. Send those evil demons right back to where they came from, tenfold. Send them back. May they reap everything they've sown, tenfold. May they reap every negative word, every sense of betrayal, every sense of agony caused upon your heart. May they reap that tenfold. May the only thing that spared them is the prayer that you have the ability to do. Because God is listening to you. Whatever you want, God is granting you. Whatever it is you can think of, whatever it is that you think you deserve, whatever it is that you think you desire, whatever it is that you think you want right now in this season, God has you. God already got it in the pocket. What do you want? You're protected. You're covered. You're loved. God got you. God got you. And I think that is where I'm going to close off this particular episode. We're already at 48 minutes. I'm so sorry, y'all. I did not intend for it to be this long, but I feel like that is what people need. Y'all needed that. We needed that. We needed that push because it is overwhelming. It is a lot, but I can promise you this. Stay connected to the thorn, stay connected to the vine and allow the thorns to exist, because that's where your strength is actually going to be prevailing. You got this. God got you. Speak life into what you want. What do you want? What do you want? This test, it ain't gonna destroy you. It can't destroy you. It has no power. Okay. So I love you guys. I love you guys. That's the daily devotion. I'm not even going to read from the daily devotion book because that right there feels like that's what you needed. That's what we needed. That's what we absolutely. No, that's a lie. Let me go ahead and read it to you. Okay. Yep. All right, here we go. God, thank you so much for favor. Thank you for love. Thank you for the protection. Thank you for the covering. Thank you for the insight. Father, thank you for direction. Thank you for blocking every attempt to destroy our confidence in every attempt to destroy us mentally, emotionally, spiritually, and break apart that of which you put together. God, I thank you for renewal, overwhelming prosperity. Thank you for granting me my heart's desires due to my obedience and discipline and belief in you. God, thank you. Thank you. Thank you. In your name, Jesus, we give you all the glory, honor, and praise. I'm reading from the Moments of Peace in the Presence of God. It says, of God or men, you are not setting your mind on God's interests, but man's. Matthew 16:23. There you shall be rescued. There the Lord will redeem you. But they do not know the thoughts of the Lord. They do not understand his plan. Oh, that's Micah 4:10. Oh, my Lord. Oh, it is difficult to watch people you love choose courses that are fraught with challenges or experience a very painful trial. Wow. Sometimes you will not understand what God is doing in them, and you will want to safeguard them from experiencing distress. God may have an important purpose for their circumstances that you are not aware of. It is okay when you do not comprehend what God is doing, but it is not acceptable to hinder him. Today, do not shield your loved ones from trials. Rather, pray for and support them. Dear God, I pray for my hurting loved ones. Thank you for doing important things in their lives. Please show me how to encourage them. Amen. Ooh, we. The evening says, worthy of his house. Lord, who may abide in your tent? Who may dwell on your holy hill? Psalm 15:1. Whoever does these things will always be secure. Psalm 15:5. Who is fit for heaven? What does it take to be close to God? Psalm 15 says that you must be blameless, virtuous and truthful, and never speak badly of others. You must never accept money that comes from taking advantage of others. You must keep your oaths and you must never do wrong. Lord, confirmation. Does this sound unfeasible? In a sense, it's supposed to be. Your failings were meant to show you that it's impossible for people to make themselves fit for heaven. You must depend on Jesus to make you worthy of his house. He makes you completely fit. Believe in him. God, thank you for preparing me to live in heaven with you. Thank you for making the impossible possible for me. Amen. Listen. Okay, that's it. Y'all. Oof, God is so good. I love you guys. I love you guys. I love you guys. Thank you so much for all of your support. Until our next episode, please be gentle with yourself, be gentle with others, and please remember, you are connected to the vine. Abundance is your birthright, even when you are surrounded by thorns. Okay? I love you guys. I love you guys. I love you guys. Until our next episode, please be gentle with yourself and be gentle with others. Bye.